Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Coaches Network.
Yes, people, what's happening? It's your guy, Coach Yas. I hope everyone is well. That's right, you are listening to the Coaches Network, and it is a Wednesday, guys. But this time, the show is going to have a little bit of a twist on it. And I know that you're used to listening to me discuss, you know, journeys from people who are working in athlete and talent development space, where they share their experiences and some real insights around their own lives and how they think and the way they work. And this is going to be a little bit of that, but with a slight twist. Now, I've had some incredible guests so far, you know, from the likes of NBA legend Shaquille O'Neal, former England and Arsenal players, Sol Campbell, and more recently Jack Wilshere. But they aren't the only ones that have been incredible. And I'm sure you agree that there's been some fascinating guests and fascinating gems and golden nuggets dropped on the podcast so far. But the vision for the Coaches Network is far greater than that, guys. It's all about supporting one another and, you know, not just the talent and athlete development world, but also about personal development too, guys. And, you know, helping everyone to network, grow, but more importantly, to be inspired by people who come on the show and inspire one another, guys. And ultimately, I want everyone to kind of work towards becoming the best version of themselves. So today's episode is slightly different. And it was the first step in doing just that and branching out a bit more into the personal development space. Now, my guest for today's show is an entrepreneur and self-made millionaire, Jazz Rose. Now, this particular episode was recorded back in February, guys. Now, I first connected with Jazz on this to discuss the element of financial freedom, which is what we're going to talk about today. But in actual fact, what actually happened was me and Jazz recorded the episode and we enjoyed it so much that we decided that we were going to launch a new podcast series. So every single Wednesday from now on, my guest for this today's episode, Jazz, is now going to become my co-host for a new and exciting element of Coaches Network. So I'm pleased to say you're officially listening to the debut episode of the Success Series with Coach Yas and Jazz Rose. Now, when we first set out on the journey, we weren't too sure what we were going to call it, what date it would even be released. So throughout the initial episode, you may hear us refer to it as slightly different, whether that be the day or the name of the show. But it's been settled now. Every Wednesday at 7:15 a.m., we will be releasing the Success Series. Now, you can join us live, or you can listen to it on all the major platforms. If you want to join us live, you can join us live on Instagram. And I'll leave some information in the show notes about where you can follow us on the social media, guys. But just because it's a slight twist doesn't mean it's going to be any different in terms of how phenomenal the conversation is going to be. So join us on this journey, guys. Let us know what you think. And make sure you're following both of us on social media. But guys, honestly, I'm so excited about this new element to the platform. So without further ado, here's to the debut episode of Success Series. Enjoy it. Let us know your thoughts. Take some nuggets away from this. Share it with everyone that you know. And finally, guys, I wish you a great Wednesday, a great week, and a great next step to achieving a phenomenal life, guys. Take care. And my guest, Jazz. How are you, Jazz?
Yeah, I'm great, brother. Thanks so much for having me on, man. I appreciate it.
Brilliant. Thanks for being with me. Jazz, just to kind of start us off, anyone that's not familiar with you, both in this conversation and, you know, beyond, just letting us know a bit about you and, you know, where you started your journey.
Yeah, so sure, man. Well, my thing is about helping people to become financially free and helping people to really shift their relationship with money so that money becomes a constant and abundant blessing. And I started off just running a business, started when I was 17, and I grew that from £30 a week to 3 million over about 10 to 12 years. I sold it last year, actually. And through that process, I've been investing in property. The property portfolio has grown significantly, and to the point where now that the rental income pays for sort of income lifestyle. And my responsibility now really is to help other people on the journey to be able to invest powerfully so that they can set themselves up and really spend time doing the things that they love and live in a space of peace and tranquility where they're able to have the time, the freedom, the peace of mind to do the things that they really care about, spend time on things that they're passionate about and do the things that they really love.
Awesome. And then a large part obviously is you, I guess, paying forward some of the things that you've maybe learned through your journey and passing it on to others through various different formats. Obviously, you know, you do a bit of speaking, you do some online training stuff as well. Just kind of interesting, though, to look in terms of that business that you did have to start with, you know, what was that business? And, you know, at what point did you decide it was time to kind of move that on and start to sell it off or develop that pathway, if you like?
Yeah, how it started was I was on my journey to becoming a professional footballer. And throughout that journey, sort of a lot of my colleagues, friends were coaching sport. And WH Smith and Sainsbury's weren't hiring. So that was the sort of route into to start coaching. Everyone around me was coaching football, and I wanted to deliver it from a different aspect. I wanted to deliver a sport from a different aspect where we touch the human spirit, not just the body. So I was training young people from primary schools essentially to become better, more powerful, more responsible human beings, and using sport as a mechanism to help them to become more independent thinkers, more creative, more well-rounded individuals. And we grew that business by coaching sport in schools. And then we started doing music in schools, and then we started doing drama, then we started doing foreign languages and all sorts of different things. And over the years, just due to the quality that we were able to provide and the consistency we were able to deliver it at, schools were demanding these services of us. And then we were able to put the systems and strategies in place to be able to deliver effectively. And so that's how that business grew. Ended up with about 150 staff at its peak. And I realized sort of it's about 2018 or 2019, I got a call from my CFO at the time, and she said to me, you know, four words that you never want to hear as a business owner, and those four words were, "Jazz, we can't make payroll." And I was like scared out of my wits, you know, because I'd been running the business for about 15 years at the time, and, you know, never been in this sort of situation. And my thing was always to grow the business so that I don't have to be in it and that I don't have to worry about it. So that's why I employed sort of senior people to manage that sort of function for me. But then I came to the stark realization that, hey man, this is like your responsibility. Like, no one's going to take more control of your money than you. No one's going to be more passionate about your money than you. No one's going to be more passionate about your business than you. And essentially, you've got to take control of your financial life. And that's kind of how the money journey started. Although not immediately, that's how it started in terms of me feeling, okay, something's missing here. I've missed a big trick, right? I've been, you know, working so hard to build this business, and everything's now laid out in front of me, but the finances aren't taken care of in the way that they should be. So you're working all this hard, you're working so hard for essentially for money, and then you're not taking care of the money, right? So there's a lack of synergy here, and I feel like that's not just something that I went through, but that's something that a lot of people go through, because a lot of people aren't a lot of people are passionate about different things. They're not necessarily passionate about the numbers and stuff like that, but what we do need to be passionate about is what the numbers create for us, and the space and the time and the freedom that it creates. So as opposed to sort of going down that route of building this massive enterprise and sitting back and having the challenges that come with that, I thought, okay, cool. If I can sell this business and actually reap the rewards from it of what I've grown it to, and then use the passive income from property, I can actually live my life much more free, much more peace of mind, and actually do the things that I love when I love to do it and how I love to do it, without any sort of checks and balances going back and forth. So that's what's sort of brought me to where I am today.
Excellent. You know, kind of just kind of touching the back of that, you know, you talked there about the finance, you know, you're responsible for this ultimately, but I guess growing up, you know, unless we're fortunate to have, you know, to be given certain, you know, put in certain environments, or put in, you know, put in certain sort of, I guess, classes and whatnot. A lot of us probably growing up don't really have access to, or especially not from a school perspective, you know, get actually taught how to manage money, or what it means to have a relationship with money, and what relationship money should actually look like. So I'm just kind of conscious, you know, just kind of maybe start there. You know, what should a relationship with money look like? And, you know, where do you, you know, in your journey, where did you first come across that element of things and understanding? You know, you touched on that brief there, but what were the key things that stood out for you initially?
Yeah, I think the first thing that I would say to people is that money is not just an exchange, right? It's much more than that. It's not just a tool to be able to purchase something. It's actually a trade-off of our life energy, right? And one of the things that I coach people on is, if we now start to think about money as a transfer of our life energy, it's like we need to look at all of the things that we do and the time that we spend that contributes to this thing we call work. Okay, so like from the time that you get up and you start, you know, pre-COVID and whatnot, and post-COVID, of course, it's like you get up early, 2 hours before work, you get ready, you get the kids off to school or whatever, you get in the car and you get on the train, you drive and travel an hour to work. All of that is additional time. So, and then you start adding up all the expenses that you look at work, right? You look at the breakfast meals that you buy, Starbucks, Costa, wherever you go. You know, you look at the Friday socials, that's £100 every week for some people. If not more. And you know, you look at all of the events, all of the trains that you've got to go on, the travel expenses and all of that sort of accumulation. And then people would look at it and go, well, you know, I know that from my contract or whatever it is, I make £10-20 an hour. But when you start to check it and you start to scale it back and you go, actually, I'm getting up at 5:30 and I'm getting home at 6:30, like when I start to do the maths on that, on how many hours I'm actually working, I don't make £20 an hour, I actually make six. Yeah. So once you start thinking about money like that, you start to get into a space where you're like, okay, cool, I need to control my time, because the most valuable asset that I have is my time and my life energy. So I need to protect it, guard it, and work extremely hard for a period of time to grow my wealth so that I don't have to. Now I can choose to, right? And we have to grow to a space where we build this thing, what we call FU money, which is whatever your face turned up. It's like whatever happens on the other side, we have power to choose. But what happens often is that something happens on the other side, the boss says something to you that you don't like, or there's something that you don't like going on in your industry and your heart's really against it, but you know you've got to go to work because you've got to earn that money and you've got to pay those bills, because if you don't pay those bills, you don't earn that money, you know, all hell can break loose. So when you remove yourself from that pressure, actually you become a lot more effective in what you do, because now you're not afraid to speak up. Now you've got your FU money. You're not afraid to have those conversations with colleagues or bosses or whatever, and whoever it is. And you're not afraid to get things done with pace and power. And you stop trading your, you stop thinking about it as trading your time. You stop thinking about it as, oh, I've got to work through to five. No. You do the job and you do it superbly with high level of effectiveness. And then you become actually a more valuable asset to your employer or to your own business. And that's what's happened for me. I've been, you know, a lot more effective with my time, and it happens to multiple people. So that's where financial independence and financial freedom is really, really important and powerful, because people can transcend both the way that they perform at work, the way that they perform with their family, the way that they perform with their friends. You know, I've got family members that, you know, I've hardly seen in like 10 years. You know, when I was developing my business, my family didn't see me a lot. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's like we have to say, okay, so what's the stopgap here? Where am I aiming for? What's my number? Where am I going? I know where I am, but where am I going? Right, once I get there, what am I going to do next? Yeah. And once you start thinking like that, rather than, oh my goodness, I've got to work till 65. No, that's a problem, okay? Once you start thinking like that and you get to that level of independence and power, then you can really start to choose powerfully.
Okay, so just on that, then you talk there almost a, it's really about a shift in the mindset more than anything else to kind of get the ball rolling. So on that, what are the first kind of steps that you maybe start to take to get that shift in the mindset, especially, you know, if you're not used to seeing that around you potentially, or you might not necessarily come from a, let's just say a wealthy background. Mm-hmm. How do you begin to shift your mindset? You know, where do we look towards? Obviously, we're trying to surround ourselves with people who think like that as well, which obviously is going to be a massively beneficial in its first instance. But beyond that, where do we go?
Yeah, definitely relationships are definitely a big magnifier. Also, reading books. I've realized one thing, Yaz, when I was about maybe about 30, right? I realized, and one of my very successful friends who I actually met when I was about 29, 30 as well, he was talking to me about the books that he's reading and stuff. And it caught me because I was like, I've been running my business since 17. I've been growing it and doing really well. And every single book that I've read, well, 95% of the books percent, 95% of the books plus has been about business development, sales, marketing, finance, operations, leadership, so on and so forth. I've never learned about this thing called money, which is weird, right? Because you build all these skills up and you want to learn about all of the operations and the sales and the leadership and all that. You want to learn all of that to get to the money, but you never learned about the money. So now you've got the money, you don't know what to do with it. So now you've got hundreds of thousands coming in, or you've got a lot of money coming in, a lot more than what you thought, or a lot more than what you had 10 years ago. And all of a sudden it's going out, going out, going out, going out, because you don't know how to handle it. You don't know what to do with it. Huh? It's like a hot potato. You play football, yes? Yeah? Throw the ball, hot potato. I don't know what to do with this money. I can't keep it. It's not for me. It doesn't belong to me. I've never grown up with money. Give it to somebody else. Give it to somebody else. Employ somebody else. Employ somebody else. Do something else with that. Go buy another house. Go and buy this. And all of a sudden, we get buried into this consumer lifestyle. And oftentimes, we can be making hundreds of thousands a year, but the debt that we have is hundreds of thousands a year. So therefore, our wealth is pretty much zero, if not in the negative. And that's a very, very challenging position to be in, because now you've got to work for another 20, 30 years because you've got to pay your bills. You've got to pay for that Ferrari, you've got to pay for that Lambo. Yeah. But you've not bought it cash. You've put it on credit, thinking that everything's going to be hunky-dory for the next 20 years because you've got a great career, haven't you? You've had a great career for the last 5, 10 years. Nothing could go wrong. Then COVID hits, bang, out the game. What's happened now? Have you got enough to survive? Have you got your emergency fund in place? Have you got FU money? Have you got passive income coming in from different sources, irrespective? These are the things that we need to think about.
No, definitely. Just kind of just on that note, then, you're talking about essentially having multiple revenues of income, almost you're having that passive income as well as, just almost income in reserve, if you like. Where does one begin? Obviously, there's many ways in which you can do that. Some of the things that you've obviously done in your personal journey is obviously build a business, create a business which you could obviously then sell off for a lucrative value. Beyond that, you've obviously then, you've entered into the property industry and, got yourself on the property ladder. What other tips and what other, I guess, avenues could people maybe pursue to try and, I guess, get the ball rolling towards that journey to financial freedom, essentially?
Yeah, here's where it starts, Yaz, is what's my savings ratio? What percentage of my income can I save each month? Because it's not wealth, building wealth is not just about how much you make, it's about how much you keep, right? So I tell a story often that I know a janitor that probably makes between 20 and 30 grand a year, but he's incredibly wealthy, right? And how did he grow this? Because
for the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All of his expenses, all of his lifestyle is paid for. So from the age of like 20, 22 years old, when he started his job and started working, he's been saving 50% of his income. But he's not only been saving it, he's been investing it. So now that I'm investing in the market and I'm getting an average of a 10% return every single year, that £10,000 is now compounding every single year for 40 years. Now I'm a millionaire. It's great. Right. So this is how, when we start to look at what's our savings ratio, some people don't even know what it is. And if you don't know what it is, it can be a scary place to start, but it will start to move the needle, because the more you look at that money tracker, the more you look at your expenses and go, what can I move? What can I change? What can I shift? What's not providing value for me? Because now that I know that I make £6 an hour, is that worth six? Is that worth an hour of my time? If I make £10 an hour, cool. Is those £100 pair of jeans, is that worth 10 hours of my time? And sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes the answer is no. But the problem is, yeah, most people don't ask themselves that question. They go, that looks good. And it's not an accusation on people, because I've been there, I've done it. I've been there, I've done it 1,000 times over. But when we start to look at it like that, is that worth 10 hours of my time? And once you start to think about it like that, how can I increase my savings ratio? Right, I'm on 5%. How can I get it to 10? Right, how can I get it to 20?
Just kind of take you back a second on that last point. I think a large part of that, it obviously comes down to self-confidence and self-worth, isn't it? In the sense that if you are going to a job that's maybe paying you £6 an hour after, you know, after all the deductions and everything else that you kind of have to go with it, is that not also maybe a determination of the value that you place in yourself?
Oh yeah, you've got to know yourself. You've got to know yourself. And that's one of the things, like on a money mastery program, the first thing that we walk through with people is after the intros and stuff, is we walk through what's your money mentality. Like, what's your understanding? What's your psychological deep nervous system saying to you about money and the principles of money and building wealth? Okay. I was listening to an interview yesterday with a great guy, great entrepreneur. I don't know if you know him, Patrick Bet David, he's from the States. And he was saying that you know, the reason that his parents divorced, although they were very great together, what he realized is that both Christians, etc., his mum thought that people who were wealthy were greedy, and his dad wanted to be wealthy. So as his dad's building his wealth, accumulating, there's a separation now. And again, that's a mindset thing. And that's something that is passed down from generations to generations. And we've got to be the ones that step forward and break the access that we have to knowledge, insight, et cetera. We've got to be the ones that step forward and break that cycle, break those negative correlations that we have with money, so that we can start to free ourselves and start to build wealth independently.
No, you make some great points. Obviously, again, that mindset piece, you know, I want to kind of bring you back to the point that you was touching on this before, that we talked there about, you know, that self-worth bit, and you was going on to talk about, I guess, what you do after you've, you know, get to a point of making those decisions, essentially, you know, that how much are you worth? And if you're worth it, then obviously sometimes it's going to be yes, sometimes it's going to be no. You know, some decisions we're going to have, I guess, go with. So I guess from a perspective of, you know, delving into different, I guess, avenues, you know, use the story of the janitor that had those savings. How do we work out that saving? Was it the money saving ratio?
Yeah.
So what, you know, you talk about some of the questions you might start to ask yourself, but you've been exposed to that. Now, for people that maybe haven't been exposed to, maybe someone else doing something like that. Would you mind just going through some of those questions and maybe how they actually maybe best work out their money saving ratio?
Yeah, perfect. So yeah, so I created this brilliant tool called the Money Tracker. And the reason that I created it was started from what happened in my business. And I started realizing when my CFO said to me, we can't make payroll. We got everything together, we sorted it out. But I started to realize that we had money leaking out of our account like an absolute sieve, right? So we have this high turnover, we have this high income, but then you've got little things, phone bills from staff that you had 3-4 years ago, email addresses, subscriptions that you're not using in the last 5 years. So I started thinking to myself, well, if I've got money leaking out of my account in my business account, surely this is happening in my personal life too. So then I started, and prior to that, I had always sort of relied on accountants. Yeah, just sort out the accounts, rely on the senior staff and stuff. You sort out the finance stuff. I don't really want to know about that sort of stuff, as long as we've got enough to pay the bills, right? But that's a negative attitude to have. And again, that comes from a negative mindset, money mindset that I grew up with. Okay. So then I created the money track, and I started going through my personal finances, looking at, okay, what is my savings ratio? And I'm a person that's very visual. And one of the things that people say to me about the money tracker is that what I love about it is that I can see what my percentage is. I can see what percentage I'm saving. I can see what percentage is going on food. I can see what percentage is going to my family. So if I want to make adjustments, it's quite simple for me to do so. I can go, okay, cool, let's not spend that £200 over there this month, and let's put it into the savings. Oh, my savings has gone up X percent. And you can just the visibility of being able to see it. And what I encourage and coach people to do is to increase it by at least 2% every single month. So if you start off with 5, get it to 7 next month. How can you get it to 9? How can you get it to 11? And then before you know it, 2-3 years down the line, or even sooner, depending on sort of where your wealth is and stuff, like people can do it in 3 or 4 months. You're saving 50% of your income. You're like, this is great.
No, and that's obviously a massive change for, I would assume, a lot of people. So I guess, you know, from that perspective, you've now got this income, you've started to save this, and you've started to build this wealth. Where do we start to go with it? You talked about investments earlier. What are the avenues that we might look to tap into there?
Yeah, I'm very much likened to index funds, and reason for that is it's a very, very simple path to wealth. Okay, and I believe that we've all got to start at this place with understanding what is an index fund and why it's so powerful as a tool for generating wealth. So when I talk about this guy who's now 60, who's a millionaire and who's probably never made more than 30,000 a year. And again, this is a story that's not often told in the news, right? But it happens all the time, right? And this is how a lot of sort of our grandparents' generation, et cetera, have built their wealth from different communities, et cetera, or from our community as well. So it's like, the index fund is the most powerful way to start to simplify and build your wealth, because it's naturally, the stock market always goes up, right? It's going to have its dips and it's going to have its falls and stuff, but it always goes up, right? So if you understand that the stock market always goes up, you understand this is a relatively safe and reliable investment, providing I don't need to touch this money within the next 5 to 10 years, because then as you start throwing more money into it, into your index fund, it's like, naturally it starts to compound, naturally it starts to grow, and naturally that starts to inspire you to actually put more money in there and see what and see what it creates for you.
So, you know, obviously, which is brilliant, obviously you can start to build that, and obviously it does always rise eventually, but a lot of people maybe aren't aware of how to get involved in some of these things, where's the best place to start, and that comes with, you know, index funds, you know, whether it's the stock market or any other sorts of avenues such as those. I guess, where do one look to? Because obviously you talk, you know, refer to maybe some books that you've read in the past. Is there any particular resources that are out there outside of maybe the things that you're providing with your, I guess, your organization, you might be able to signpost people to?
Yeah, two great books that I'd recommend on that. One is Your Life, Your Money or Your Life by a lady called Vicky Robin, very successful and brilliant writer. And talks about sort of that whole life energy thing and how your money is your life energy and all that. And it goes quite deep into that. And you really start to correlate and understand the principles behind wealth, money, finances, and getting yourself financially fit. And the other book that I would really recommend is Simple Path to Wealth for Investing by J.L. Collins. That's a really, really powerful book. And it talks you through that whole journey of why the index fund is so powerful and why it's such a fundamental tool for building wealth, even if you use it as a partial tool for building wealth or as your main tool for building wealth.
Brilliant. So, Jazz, you know, obviously one of the other things I wanted to kind of touch on, obviously, you know, you've been quite successful with your own journey, moving into the, I guess, the property field, in the real estate and getting onto the property ladder. Where does one start with that? You know, you hear all these stories about how difficult it might be to maybe get a mortgage or get the ball rolling and whatnot. But then on the flip side, you're hearing now, you know, some great stories of overnight successes on social media and, you know, content creators and influencers in less than a year with no accounts getting, you know, some fantastic mortgages and things like that. So where does one start with that? What does that look like?
Yeah, I think you made a great point, you know, when you touched on the word story. A lot of people hear stories. And the thing is that about a story is that it's not a fact. Okay, so it doesn't have to be true, or it doesn't have to be factual, or it doesn't have to be your representation of what actually happens. Okay, and what we've got to start to understand is that the media plays a very important role in this. Okay, the media is consumer led, right? So if I'm in control of the media, I want people to buy my products. So if people are buying property and doing stuff over there, right, and investing, don't necessarily need to buy my products so much anymore. So therefore, I'm going to find these negative stories about property. I'm going to find this negative stuff, and I'm going to put that out there so that let the masses understand that, because they don't need to know about this stuff back here, because now that starts to affect my pocket. So that's kind of like the mindset of the media. But in property, it's a very practical game. Okay, a lot of people ask me, do you know any good books on property? Mate, I've read dozens of books on property. Can't find a good one that I can recommend, you know? Because most of it is all stories, right? You've had a great story over there. You've had a bad story over there. Usually they say I had a bad story, then I had a good story. But here's the thing, you've got to get out there and do it. I bought my first investment property based upon where me and my mates used to go out. Like when I bought my first investment property when I was 25. So where we used to go out when I was 20, like where we used to go out club, and my friends used to run a club called LOL Show, really good entertainment show for comedians. And one of the first places that they ran it outside of London was a place called High Wycombe. So when I started looking for properties, I was like, okay, cool. Like, I don't need to buy property in London, right? Like, and London prices are too high. So where can I go? I was like, Wycombe, let's go and have a look. So I went and viewed a few properties around Wycombe, and then found a good price and bought it. And here we are today, you know. And, you know, those, what I want people to understand is that, for example, that property, bought it for £159,000. Today, it's worth over £350,000. And I bought it when I was 25, so just under 10 years ago. Okay, so these sorts of things are not by accident. And it's people always say, oh, I need to find the right deal. I need to find a perfect deal. You don't need to find a perfect deal, right? Trying to find a perfect deal works well for people that are selling you property courses, right? Because the longer you stay with them, the more you pay them in mentorship and X, Y, Z, right? So people need to understand this and need to really get out there. Go and look in Hull. Go and look in Liverpool. Go and look in Sheffield. Go and look in Derby. Go and look for places. People say, what's the best area to buy? When's the last time you Googled that? Yeah, Google it. Where's the best place to buy property? Get loads of ideas. And there is no one best place, right? You can say, oh, this place is a terrible, but I can find a gem over there. Yeah, so yeah. You've got to go out there. You've got to take proactive action and just go and view properties. I don't care if you've got money or not. Just go and view. Make a commitment this month, in month coming, March. Go and view 10 properties, wherever you may be. Just go and view them. Yeah, I'm interested in buying this house. Yeah, have you got a mortgage? Have you got a deposit in principle? Yeah. Sure. Of course I have. Love to feed the house. yeah, no problem. My broker's got all that sorted. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you've got all your paperwork ready? Yeah. Got all that sorted. Love to feed the house. Go and view the house. And that will inspire you to start to make moves. You might not buy the house this year, but you might buy it next year. And now you have an understanding of the market and how things work in the property game.
It's definitely, so again, it's coming back to the thing that we talked about earlier about the shift in that mindset. And also, it's also, I guess, in some ways, manifesting into the future that this is what's going to happen next, or this is where you're going to go with it. So I guess, you know, conscious of time, and you know, just kind of as we start to wind down and, you know, look to wrap up and whatnot, what would you say some of the key tips are then for people to consider when they're looking to, I guess, gain financial freedom?
Know your savings ratio, that's first and foremost, and then work on increasing that all the time. Understand your money mindset, understand what works for you and where your thought process has come from and why that affects certain decisions that you make. Because once you understand it, then you can start to choose powerfully rather than choosing based upon what happened to you 20 years ago or what happened to your mum 50 years ago or your dad or whoever it might be. So know your money mindset. Make sure that you know your savings ratio, and then make sure that you know your net worth and your net worth goal. Because if you know your net worth, you know, okay, cool. My net worth is currently X. My net worth goal is Y. And this is the money tracker, right? It shows you, and I don't want it to sound like I'm doing some constant plug, but it shows you what your net worth is right now, okay? And then it shows you what your net worth goal is based upon your expenses. So if you spend, I don't know, if you spend £2,000 a month, right? It says your net worth is X. And the less you spend, the lower your net worth goal is. So your net worth goal is also the equivalent of your FU money. So now that I've got my FU money, I've got 500,000 invested, I'm good. Like, and it doesn't take a lot of work, right? You start investing 20% of your income for 10, 15 years. You know, in certain cultures, they have a like a precedent almost. It's like, okay, cool. The philosophy is this: you work extremely hard for 5 to 10 years, maximum 12. You build your wealth. And then you have your FU money and you do what you want. You start to read more. You start to socialize more. You start to spend more time with your family, grow a family if that's what you want to do. And you start to do, you start a small business if that's what you want to do. And you start to do the things that you're really passionate about. So it's making sure that you know what your net worth goal is. And oftentimes we go towards your net worth goal. And then you don't know what to do with it because you don't know that it's a goal, and because you don't know that it's there, and because you don't know that you have FU money, you just spend it all. You go, yeah, Range Rover, yeah, new house, yeah, boom, 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 boom. And all of your money starts leaking out again. So then you've got to work for another 20 years under pressure. Nobody likes pressure, yes.
100%. It's just fascinating having a chat with you this evening around, you know, all things financial freedom. Jazz, if there was anyone, you know, interested in learning a bit more about what you do and, you know, the money tracker itself, is there somebody who can get in touch with you to I guess find more out?
Yeah, actually I'm running an intro on how to win with money. I don't know if this is coming out. I'm running an intro on how to win with money on Monday. So yeah, if people want to add me on Instagram at Mr. Jazz Rose, that's JAZZROSE. And just drop me a message. I'd love to invite you and bring you on to the how to win with money intro. And I can show people what the steps are and take this discussion that we've had today a little bit further and delve deeper into people's personal situations, so we can have that back and forth discussion as well.
Excellent. And just to clarify, is that a one-time only event, or will there be more events in the future?
Yeah, there'll be more events in the future, yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, for sure. Thank you very much, Jess.
Oh, you're very welcome, King. Appreciate it.